The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. You are my desire. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me." Today's message is the essence of my message regarding the poverty of believers. So, an overview. This broadcast examines the issue of true believers who are in poverty, or if you like, in lack. I'm not just referring to sitting in the dust with no house, no food. I'm talking about believers who are not living in abundance, living in lack, struggling to pay their bills, living in the absolute basic wherewithal. It is stressed that Father wants believers to prosper, but that Satan wants believers in poverty. It is noted that poverty is a consequence of curses, sin, or error. It is a judgment. It is stressed that we prosper through the sweat of our brows, and that begging from those who are ministering is an offense in the sight of Yah. It is noted that single believing men will battle to survive, while single believing women can ask Father to be their husband. It is pointed out that tithing to a ministry that is in error is futile, and that we should tithe only to those who teach real truth. It is stressed that a divided house will fall, while a united house will prosper. Listeners are advised to cut off all extraneous sexual bonds and to cut off all curses. There's a particular note regarding curses on African people. The process for cleaning up is cited, and all are enjoined to walk in emunah, or faith. I then ask, so what? Why should you believe? We also look at what you should do if you do now believe. Finally, we will examine the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have over 28 and a half years experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March, 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. Excuse me. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. For more information, in particular, please see the compendium of important articles at the top of the menu that lists articles in a logical sequence relative to a typical journey with YAH. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com, one word, the show in the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio in quotes. So today we're going to talk about the essence of my message regarding the poverty or lack of believers. I was fairly recently requested to write a piece about how believers in financial lack could get out of that situation. That is the aim of this broadcast. Following are the points to consider. As always, this article is only relevant to committed believers. And it's important to note, folks, that many, many committed believers are not doing very well financially, particularly married couples with ministries. And so this is about why that happens and what to do about it. So I want to start out by saying that Father wants believers to prosper. He desires for us to prosper and be in health. If you're a truly committed believer and you're in lack, then this broadcast is for you. It is vital to understand that it is Father's will for you to prosper and be in health. If you're not prospering, then there's something wrong. And it is within your power to rectify the situation. This broadcast outlines the things you need to take into account. To put this in context, I'd like to cite Genesis 26:1-12, and I'm just going to read the first part of verse 1. Now there was another famine in the land subsequent to the one that had occurred in Abram's time. And then Genesis 26:12-13, now Isaac sowed in the land, and that very year he reaped 100-fold. And YAH, the eternally self-existing, not the Lord, blessed him, and he became richer and richer until he was exceedingly wealthy. So here we see a massive famine. Isaac sows in a land where nothing's happening agriculturally wise, and he gets a 100-fold return. That's just an example of how Father will bless you in famine. So it doesn't matter if there's a pandemic, it doesn't matter if there's a war, it doesn't matter if there's a financial market crash or whatever. Father wants to bless you. He wants you to prosper. And if you're not prospering, there's a problem. And we're talking about that today. My next point, Satan wants believers in poverty. As a committed believer, it is vital to understand that the satanic and demonic realm want you in poverty and therefore ineffective in the service of YAH, the Almighty Creator. So your battle against poverty is a battle against the satanic and demonic realm that is attacking you. And it can only attack you if you give it legal grounds to attack you. And this is so important, folks. If you're in lack, there's something wrong. There's sin, there's error, there's curses. We'll go through all of that. He wants you to prosper. There's just absolutely no uncertainty on that point at all. And it's important to understand that if you have sin or you have error, the satanic and demonic realm will go before the throne of Yah and say, this believer is in error here, or they're in the sin here, and that gives them a legal right to attack your finances. So they can put hindering spirits out there with your advertising or your marketing material, so that people read the advert or the email or whatever and say, this looks interesting. And the next thing, a hindering spirit clouds their understanding and they just forget about it, or they ignore it, or they discuss it with one of their colleagues and the colleague says, no, that doesn't sound like the right thing for us. It's very simple, folks. Poverty is a consequence of curses, sin, or error. In all cases, poverty is a consequence of curses, sin, or error, including error regarding your sexual relationships. So if you have a curse, and the important thing to understand is that there are modern curses and there are legacy bloodline curses. So if somebody has put a curse on your bloodline and said, somebody with authority said, let this bloodline always be in lack. So we'll talk later on the curse of Canaan, which is why the vast majority of African people are battling financially, because of the curse of Canaan. It's a curse that was put by Noah on Canaan just after they came out of the ark, the end of the flood. And it's been dogging the African people ever since. And it can be cut off, and we'll talk about how you can deal with that. If you have had multiple sexual partners and they're not living with you and they're not in agreement with you, then again, your finances will be attacked. As I said a minute ago, the way that happens is that the forces of darkness put hindering spirits on your finances. So people meet you, they think that what you're offering is great, they're really positive, and then they go away and they don't do anything because the hindering spirits have distracted them and kept them from coming back to you, kept them from replying to your email, kept them from reading your email, and so forth. It's a really vicious situation. Then it's important to note that we will prosper through the sweat of our brows. It's vital to understand that you will prosper through the sweat of your brow, hard work. In the Bible, read Genesis 3:19. So you're going to have to work hard except on the Sabbath, Saturday. I work extremely hard Monday to Friday, about 16 hours a day, in order to generate the income that allows me to keep the websites, the ministry websites up, the mailing lists active, the radio show live, etc. You will also have to work hard. If you're sitting home and praying for a breakthrough, then you need to think again and go out and get work. And in doing this, you need to realize that the vast majority of people who can give you work are unbelievers. So you need to pray for wisdom, understanding, and favor, and clean up your life so there is no sin that the forces of darkness can use to obstruct financial provision. Just because you have a ministry that takes up much of your time does not mean that you do not have to go out and get a job or do something else to generate income. At one stage, many years ago, as I was very much in the charismatic Christian Bless Me Church, I got into a number of situations where I was in lack, had no finances. My wife and I were in disagreement on various things. The house was divided, was falling. And I stayed at home and I ministered and I prayed and I fasted and I did everything. But I didn't go out and get work. And when eventually I did go out to look for work, I found work. So if you're in lack and you are not strenuously and actively looking for work, doing work that will get you paid, it's a problem. And then I want to say to you that begging from those who are ministering is an offense in the sight of Yah. I fairly regularly receive begging emails from people who've come to my website. They seem to think that because I have a website, I should somehow provide for them as well. I need to stress that my ministry is to listen, publish, and teach, not to use my hard-earned cash to provide for people whose life is not right with Father. So as a general rule, unless I'm deeply moved to help someone, I do not provide finance to these people. Fundamentally, they should be giving to me if they're learning from me. And what it looks like is I'll get a fairly lengthy email which tells me how blessed they are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, by the website and the ministry and everything that they're learning from me. And then they turn it on its head and they say, well, you know, we're in lack. We've got problems. We don't have finances. We need Bibles, et cetera, et cetera. Please help us. And part of it is if from my point of view, I read the email and they're telling me how blessed they are by my website, but they're using Jesus and God and the Lord, and they're asking for Bibles. And if they'd taken the trouble to read my website, they would know that I don't use those names and that I don't think that the Bible is all that important. And if they want something to read, they can read my books. And one gets the impression that this is a template that they use. They get on the internet, they find a website from a believer, and they ask for money. Now, to some extent, there are wealthy Christian websites that do provide money, but then you need to go and talk to them. And the fact is that they're teaching error, so you don't want to get yoked with that. It's a challenge. But it's not my job to provide for people. And it's distressing because I feel guilty, and then I compromise my ministry, and that's not right. Then it's important to note that single believing men will battle to survive. As a general principle, only in extreme cases should a believing man be single. There are far fewer believing men than believing women, and therefore every believing man should be covering at least one believing woman. If a believing man is joined to an unbelieving woman and the house is divided, one is serving Yah and the other is serving Satan. The man should either convert the unbelieving woman or divorce her and then find someone else. I don't know exactly why this is, but it's a well-established fact that you can verify in the Bible. If you consider Yehuchanan the Immerser, John the Baptist, lived in the wilderness on locusts and wild honey, single man, preaching a strong message of repentance, obviously hated by the forces of darkness, doing everything they could to compromise him, and no wife. And he lived in extremely straitened circumstances. But that was his choice. He chose not to take a wife because of the persecution that came his way, and we saw that with the way that he died. But as a general rule, if you're a believing man, you should have a believing woman as your wife in covenant with you, and that's important. When I use the word wife, I use it loosely as a woman who has entered into a sexual life covenant with you. In fact, somebody that the Bible calls a woman, the Bible calls an unmarried woman a virgin, a married woman a woman, a woman whose husband has died a widow, and a woman who's had multiple sexual partners a harlot. Then it's important to note that single believing women can ask Father to be their husband. As I said a minute ago, there are about 7 times more believing women than believing men in the body of true believers. A believing woman should not marry an unbelieving man, and if she is joined to such a man, she should either convert him or divorce him. It is vital for a single believing woman to understand that once she has dealt with all the issues in this article, she can ask Father to be her husband, cover her, and provide for her. She will still have to be industrious and hardworking in some endeavor through which Father can provide the blessing. So it's relatively easy for a single woman to prosper, simply if she asks Father to cover her and provide for her, and she cleans up all the things that we're talking about on this program, she will prosper. So it's a bit of a challenge there. If you're a man, there's one set of rules which are quite harsh, and if you're a woman, there's another set of rules which are not quite as harsh. So I would encourage you, if you're a single woman and you see no prospect of getting a husband, then ask Father to be your husband. Ask him to cover you. Ask him to provide for you. And then engage in some commercial enterprise or some activity that will provide a vehicle for him to provide finances for you. It is possible that Father will miraculously create finances and put money in your bank account, or send you a monkey with a paper bag full of $100 bills or whatever. It does happen, but it's very infrequent. That's not the way that he chooses to provide normally. He expects you to work. Then I want to stress that tithing to a ministry in error is futile. If you're tithing to a ministry that is teaching error, for example, still using the blasphemous names, the Lord, God, Jesus, Christ, teaching that Jesus is God, or that the Bible is the Word of God, or that Jesus is the Word of God, then you're sowing in sterile ground and yoking yourself to the satanic and demonic realm. Stop giving to such a ministry, get out of that ministry, or convert them to the truth. Folks, this is so important. The vast majority of religious institutions, organizations out there are not serving Father. They're teaching about God and the Lord and Jesus and all that stuff. And there is a small number there who may be serving Father, but the majority of them are not even in relationship with Father. Some of them get really aggressive with people who tell them that they are in relationship with Father as opposed to being in relationship with Jesus Christ. So don't give money into a ministry like that. It's barren ground. If you're a true believer who's using the true names, you should not be going to those churches or those other ministries, and you should certainly not be giving them money. Rather, just give to charity or give to the poor or whatever directly, but don't give it into a ministry which says we're the house of God and therefore you must give us your money. Just really important. And if you are going to tithe to those who truly teach truth. If you're truly receiving teaching that is true and valuable, then you should tithe or at least give to that ministry, and Yah will reward you. Then a big one, a divided house will fall. If you've listened to everything that I've said so far and you're ticking the boxes and saying, yes, I've got this handled, and you're still in lack and in poverty, then this may be your point. A house divided against itself will fall. In the Bible, Mark 3:25 and Luke 11:17. If the woman and the man are in strife or division, then the house will fall. The forces of darkness will attack your finances. If either man or woman is sexually joined to another outside of the family through legacy sexual one flesh bonds, then the house is divided and it will fall. All extraneous one flesh bonds must be cut, and all other ties also cut off. See the page Men and Women on the main menu of the website, and look under the child on the drop down list, Men and Women and Family, and under that, Separation of Man and Woman. If a man is one with a woman who's not living with him and he took her virginity, then there's a blood covenant and he should bring her under his covering and under his roof. He must at least make the offer, and if she refuses, then he must divorce her. If she accepts, then other women in his life must accept her. Folks, this is a very thorny, difficult issue for a lot of people. Our society doesn't teach us to live in harmony. It teaches man and woman to stick up for their so-called rights, their different preferences, etc. women are told that they must be independent thinkers and so forth. And to a point, that's valid and that's true. But the reality is, if one partner in a sexual life covenant, as I call it, a marriage, if one of you says, I think the vaccine is the right thing to do and I'm going to get vaccinated, and the other one says, no, the vaccine is from Satan, it's got all sorts of corrupt things in it, you won't get that anywhere near me, the house is divided. It's going to fall. And that goes for any number of other things. If you are in sexual life covenant with another human being and you're not in harmony, it's a major, major source of financial lack. If you've had several sexual partners and you haven't cut off all the ties, you need to cut off all the ties of the article that I've just cited. If the man and the woman are not living in the same house, under the same roof, sharing the same bed, eating at the same table, it is extremely difficult for them to be in harmony, to be in alignment, to be in a place where there's unity and no lack. So man and woman who are living far apart from one another and not physically in contact, doesn't matter how much time you spend on Zoom or the telephone or whatever, if you're not actually intimately part of each other's lives and aligned with one another and in harmony with one another, it's a huge problem. It's a huge open door for the forces of darkness to attack you. So, divided house will fall. So let's just go back to that a bit. If the woman a man calls wife was not a virgin when he first took her, then she is not his wife. She's a harlot, and she should return to the man who took her virginity, or at least request that he take her back. If he refuses, she can divorce him in the court of heaven and marry the man she presently calls husband. All these ties must be cleaned up and cut off before prosperity will come. As a general rule, if all the other issues in this broadcast are dealt with and a man and a woman are in poverty, it is because either the man treats his wife badly or she treats her husband badly. Man and woman are commanded to treat each other well and with love. If a man comes from a social context where men treat women badly, then you need to get rid of this wrong thinking and treat your wife gently and with tenderness. Big things, folks. There are countries in the world where women are treated as second class, second rate. And in many, many cases, there's a lot of lack and poverty there. You bring curses on the whole society if you introduce laws which treat women badly, and if you join yourself to women that you treat badly. It cuts us the other way. I mean, if a woman treats a man badly, it's going to give you the same effect. But as a general principle, it's more the men treating the women badly than the vice, the opposite side of that coin. A divided house is a huge issue. If you're listening to me and you're in lack and you've dealt with all the other things, you need to look at this one. You need to sit down and discuss exactly what it is that you believe, exactly where you think there's differences, and you need to resolve them and come into alignment. The corollary to this is that a united house will prosper. If the man and his woman, or women, plural, are in perfect unity, then the house will prosper. The more women there are in harmony, the greater the prosperity. However, in this age, it is almost impossible for more than one woman to be in harmony with one man. So as a general rule, one should limit oneself to a monogamous situation. Fundamentally, a fully united house, with all the other issues dealt with, will prosper. So the Father's commandments, Father's laws, permit more than one woman to covenant with the same man. He does not permit more than one man to covenant with the same woman. That's called adultery, and it carries a death penalty and brings judgment. The fact that most women can't share is a reality of this generation. Doesn't mean it's good, doesn't mean it's defendable, but it is the reality, and so you have to work with that much of the time. I've heard stories of families in Africa where there were four or five women joined to one man, all in perfect harmony, and those families were powerful, they were strong, they prospered. And on the other hand, you find families where the wife and the man are in disagreement on fundamental things. And there's slack. What can I say? So I've touched on this before, but I want to go back to this. Cut off all extraneous sexual bonds. As I've touched on above, it's vital to cut off all extraneous sexual bonds. So if a man or woman has had multiple sexual partners previously, they will have significant spiritual work to clean up before they can prosper. See the article cited previously for the relevant prayers, and also the article on drawing close presented later. Folks, the vast majority of believers grew up in an environment in which they did not fully understand the nature of the sexual one-flesh bond and the reality that a woman should only give herself to one man and a man should take care of a woman once he's taken her virginity for life. The consequence of this is that almost all believers have multiple sexual bonds with men or women, as the case may be, that are not living with them. It's vital to cut these things off, and it's a very simple prayer. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I bring the one flesh bond between me, Anne, and him, Joe, before you. And in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to cut it off at his end and at her end and my end, and to cut off the vows, to cut off the friendship ties. There's a whole series of things in that article that I referred to. I'm not going to give you the whole detail, but it's fairly easy to cut off all of that. It's better to get somebody to pray with you in agreement, and you must have removed all legal constraints. So if you are a woman and you lost your virginity with the shedding of blood to a man who is not your present sexual partner, there's some steps you need to go through to clean that up. You need to go, if at all possible, to the man who took your virginity and say, look, I now understand that in the sight of the Almighty we're married, and I want you to take me under your covering. If he says, no, go away, you must be crazy, then you go to before Father and you say, Father, you heard what this man says. He won't extend his covering to me. I ask you to grant me a divorce, and generally Father will grant you a divorce unless there's certain extraneous factors. Then you need to cut off all curses. If there are curses, either modern curses or legacy bloodline curses operating, these can cripple a person or family financially. All curses must be cut off. See the subsequent section for the relevant prayers. If there is someone constantly cursing you, then you need to ask Father to return the curses in the magnitude he deems appropriate so that they cease. See the page on prayer on the website. Folks, modern day witches, etc., can pray very powerful curses over you if you step on their toes, if you offend them, or if they see you as a threat. If you're really serving Father, they will curse you. They know your name and they will curse you. So you need to cut off those curses. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to cut off all curses that have been spoken against me. And in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to cast out and send where you want to go the demons that are enforcing those curses. And in the name of Yeshua, I ask you in your mercy and your grace, where they know what they're doing, to return the curses that they have prayed against me in the magnitude you deem appropriate. The first time I did that, we became aware that we were being cursed. We prayed. The next day, the ex-mother-in-law of my wife was dead. She was a practicing witch. 6 weeks later, her ex-husband was also dead. They'd both been cursing us. So there's a part of taking the battle to the enemy. But you need to clean up your life. You can't pray prayers like that if you've got a whole lot of error in your life. Then a particular note regarding curses on African people. If you're descended from indigenous African people or an African person yourself, whether you're living in Africa or elsewhere, you are subject to a particularly virulent range of bloodline curses and may also be subject to modern curses by witch doctors. In particular, most African people are subject to the curse of Canaan. Read the Bible, Genesis 9:25. And he, that's Noah, said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren." This curse may be effective in certain other cases as well, but it's primarily of effect in people of African descent. And that would include people who are mixed race, partly African and partly another Asian or European. Note that it is straightforward to cut off curses. You must be living above sin. You must clean up your act. Read the article, What is Required to Live Above Sin, and read the article on seven components of drawing close to the Almighty. Basically, you're saying, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I ask you to cut off the curse of Canaan that is operating in my life, and I ask you to bind, cast out, and send where you want to go all the demons that are enforcing that curse. And Father, I ask you to send your mighty warring messengers to take all of those demons and send them where you want them to go. Amen. It's not a difficult prayer, but you must be in right standing. You must have got yourself out of sin. You must be living above sin, and it'll help you. I help a number of people in Africa who are battling with poverty, and it's quite likely that the curse of Canaan is a significant factor there. But you've got to decide you want to break it, and you've got to do the necessary. So some processes for cleaning up. The document, Seven Components of Drawing Close to Yah, on the website, close to the bottom of the menu, contains a substantial section on cleansing that should be read and implied in detail in order to deal with the curses, etc., referred to above. If all the rituals and processes outlined in that document, all the prayers given, all the fasting applied, all the worship implemented, you will come to a place where you are in right standing with the Almighty Creator, and He is able to prosper you. And then walk in emunah, walk in faith. In all the above, it is vital to walk in emunah. See the essence of the message, re-emunah, faith, on the website. Folks, nothing works for a believer unless you will walk by faith and not by sight. And nothing works in terms of finances unless you clean up your life, clean up your act, as we've discussed. The journey of a believer to prosperity with Yah is a journey. It is the same journey of growing close to Yah that we should all be undertaking anyway. Father wants to prosper you. You need to have money to invest in spreading the truth to people, in doing whatever your ministry is, in giving to ministries that you believe you should help. You need to get clean, clear, sorted out so that you can prosper. Father wants you to prosper. We saw that with Isaac in the famine, that he prospered. He sowed and reaped a hundredfold in a famine, in a drought. It's there for you, folks. You just got to reach out and take it. So what? Why should you believe? You may be asking the question, so what? Why does it matter? Why should I make a choice? The bottom line is that the Creator has said, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? So if you believe, you make it into heaven when you die. If you do not believe, you remain on earth as an ancestor spirit or demon serving Satan. Not a pleasant outcome. Just important to understand, if you don't believe, you're going to continue living without a body after you die, and it's a pretty unpleasant set of circumstances. I'm not going to go into it here. I've talked about it on a number of broadcasts, but it's really not pleasant. If you do believe, then this opens the door to a range of outcomes in terms of major rewards in heaven. See the page, Where Are You Going? On the website. This goes right up to a high throne with a massively glorious body and massive supernatural powers and authority. I have to say to you, it is definitely worth becoming a believer. And then what do you do if you now believe? If you've now concluded that you do now believe that the Almighty Creator exists, I recommend that you pray along the following lines. Father Yah, the Almighty Creator, I've previously believed that you do not exist. I now recognize that I was mistaken and I repent and ask you to forgive me. I choose now to accept the reality of your existence and I ask you to help me to learn about you and come into relationship with you. Show me what to read and listen to and what not to read and listen to. Send people to me who can help me and keep people from me who will not help me. I ask you to send your set apart, in other words, Holy Spirit, to live in me and help me to become a faithful servant. Amen. There's much more that you can pray. There's a new page on the website, The Essence of My Message Regarding Prayer, which summarizes most of the prayers which I think are important. Look at that. There's an article near the bottom of the website which says steps to take once you believe. There's a series of things that you should take. So if you now come to belief right now, listening to this program, you should go and get to the website, endtimeissueministries.org, and download that article or read that article and put it into practice. Really, really important. Many things that you can do that will make a big difference in your life very, very quickly. And I really recommend that. So I want to close by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I would like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of Him at all times? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Do you count Him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. I want to stress that becoming a friend of the Almighty is open to every person on earth, barring a few who've been utterly rejected because they've blasphemed the set-apart spirit or have gone into repeated sin. So few believers who've gone over crossed the line between life and death. But virtually everybody else, Father wants you to become His friend. Whoever you are listening to me right now, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, doesn't matter how rich or how poor you are, it doesn't matter how well educated or badly educated you are, it doesn't matter the color of your skin, it doesn't matter the color of your eyes, it doesn't matter the color of your hair, it doesn't matter what race you belong to, it doesn't matter what tribe you belong to, He wants you to become His friend. It's there for you. You just need to reach out and take it. Pray something like, Father Yah, James Robertson says that I can become your friend. I want to become your friend. Please help me to do whatever I need to do to become your friend. Get the article I spoke about a few minutes ago, Seven Components of Drawing Close. Read it thoroughly. It's about 70 pages. Put it into practice. It's going to take you probably 2 to 3 years to apply everything you read there in enough detail and enough repetition for it to take firm root in your life and to change things. But it's totally possible for you to become His friend. He wants you to become His friend. And if you're unsure, If you make that decision, please email me, james@endtimeissueministries.org. Endtime Issue Ministries, one word. I would love to help you. I have a few people who correspond with me fairly regularly. It really blesses me to talk to them, answer their questions. I would like to do that for you. Key documents and a video on the main menu web pages, compendium of important articles, video Why Seek Relationship, the miracle of Yeshua's death, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, seven components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, where will you spend eternity, the essence of my message to Christians, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page, and recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show in the top menu and then podcasts in the drop-down. We'll search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 till May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the Compilation of Most Writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me, james@endtimeissueministries.org, to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is a lot of Google functionality. There's over 1,000 web pages on the website, over 1,000 articles. So quite a lot of stuff that's buried quite deep in the menu structure. Use the Google search or the article search to find what you're looking for. It's all in the sidebar, on the right-hand sidebar. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Currently, it seems that we're not receiving questions. So if you have submitted a question and not replied, please send it to the email below, james@endtimeissueministries.org. james@endtimeissueministries.org, or email me to join the mailing list at the same number. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, as I said a couple of minutes ago, Father wants you, not the person next to you or behind you or in front of you or wherever, not your husband or your wife or your child or your grandmother or your grandfather. He wants you to become his friend. Irrespective of your race, irrespective of your tribe, irrespective of your religion up to this point, irrespective of your gender, irrespective of your financial position, irrespective of your level of education, he wants you to become his friend. It's there for you. Reach out and take it. I really encourage you to do that. There's so much available to you if you'll just step out and start seeking. Please contact me. Thanks so much. Good night. Father, I